Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
President-elect Barack Obama, bless us so that we might follow and we might truly make the time when your kingdom might come here on earth.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want wedding.
It is a cultural war as critical to the kind of nation we shall be as the Cold War itself, but this war is for the soul of America.
I am absolutely convinced that culture wars are just so 90s. Their days are growing dark. It is time to turn the page. We want a new day.
Well, are we turning a page? Are we seeing a new day in the social mindset of the American people? Is the culture war that was heralded by conservatives 20 years ago and fought for so long in those two decades, is it over? Is it lost? Is social conservatism dead or perhaps breathing its last? What did last week's election mean for social conservatism? We're going to answer that question here in the first 10 minutes of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Colleen Carol Campbell will be our guest. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and joins us regularly to talk about it. I wonder, is it dead or is it merely sleeping? Some people say it just needs to be woken up. That's what we need to do. Or perhaps let's pick some new issues to enliven the public on social conservatism. A little bit later in the program, we're going to be having some audio open lines. There's a Texas pastor from my hometown, Dallas, Texas, who's encouraging his parishioners to have sex for 7 days straight, the married ones, not the unmarried ones. He says if you're married, he wants you to have sex for 7 straight days, and then he wants everybody to come back to church and talk about it. He says it's going to be, what does he call it, a sex experiment. And he says we're the true sex experts, and he says we should be able to put God back in bed with us. I want to know what you think about this. It'll be audio open lines in about 25 minutes. 1-877-623-6943. We'll play the story for you, then we want to hear from you. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 13th of November. Colleen Carol Campbell is our guest. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. One of her latest, Obama Victory, No Mandate for Cultural Revolution. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Is social conservatism dead?
No, I don't think it is. I think there is a lot of evidence, obviously, of a desire for change. But it's interesting that the exit polls from last week's election showed that the economy was the number one issue. And I think we know this. We heard this leading up to the election. We saw a real desire for change, particularly on economic policy, a sense that people had that things were not going well economically and we needed to put a new party in charge and see if they could do a better job. But it's also important to note, particularly when looking at exit polls and trying to think about the future of social conservatism, that the numbers of people who identified as conservative or moderate were virtually unchanged from 4 years ago. 34% told pollsters they were conservative. That's the same as 2004. 44% of Americans told pollsters that they were moderates. That's as compared to 45% in 2004. And finally, 22% of voters said they were liberals. versus 21% in 2004. So I don't think what we saw last week was a radical social shift. What I think we saw was a shift in partisan power. Republicans lost, but I don't think social conservatism is definitively defeated at all.
Okay, so make the distinction, because for many, the two are one and the same.
Yes, exactly.
The Republican Party and social conservatism. How would you distinguish the two?
Well, certainly the causes, particularly that committed Christians embrace, such as the pro-life cause, are not wedded to a particular political party. I think we can say with some certainty that on the pro-life issues right now, the Republican Party is obviously more friendly to pro-lifers than the Democratic Party, vastly so. And there was a significant difference in the presidential candidates on this question. But a lot of conservatives have been unhappy with the Republican Party, whether it be the spending or some of the scandals and sometimes kind of the failure to push forward on some of these social issues like a federal marriage amendment. So it's important to make that distinction. It's also important to note, of course, that Senator John McCain, while he was obviously more conservative than Barack Obama, was not exactly a social conservative standard bearer. He supports embryonic stem cell research. He opposed a federal marriage amendment. He was known as a maverick, and his last-ditch proposals toward the end of the race were a lot of big spending measures, including that federal government buyout of America's bad mortgages. So he was not the conservative icon whose defeat would then signal a defeat of conservatism. In some ways, you could say that in this race, at least, true conservative principles hadn't been tried and rejected. They'd not even been proposed.
What did you think of the Catholic vote?
Well, it was disappointing in many ways. Catholics went for Barack Obama. I think the final margin was somewhere around 55%. But as usual, the mainstream media did not bother to make the distinction between Catholics who check that box when asked what religion they are because they were baptized when they were infants and perhaps darken the door of a church every few years, and Catholics who go to Mass every week, which is, of course, a requirement of the Catholic faith. When you look at regular Catholic churchgoers, the folks who are actually practicing Catholics, they went for Senator John McCain and tended to vote pro-life. And in states like Missouri, our own state, where Catholic bishops were particularly outspoken on the need for Catholics to vote pro-life, they did. In Missouri and Pennsylvania, for instance, where the bishops were outspoken on this issue, Catholics went for the pro-life candidates. So that's an important distinction the media generally don't make, but it's something we need to look at, which is, you know, it comes back to that same question that we see across the board, not just among Catholics. If you're really serious about your faith, you're going to tend to vote pro-life as if you're a Catholic or an evangelical. If it's something that maybe you check off on a box, but it's not something that you consider central to your identity, and maybe your political identity is more important to you, then those considerations aren't going to rank as high with you.
What did you make of the statement yesterday released by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to Catholic voters and politicians?
I thought it was very firm and good, and unfortunately a little late, I thought. But it was a good, solid statement. I was impressed that Cardinal George came out pretty strongly and obviously with a lot of support from his brother bishops. I think in some ways this election was probably a wake-up call to the Catholic bishops that, you know, they have to make this thing really, really clear, because if there's even just an ounce of wiggle room, we've seen how partisans who are not pro-life will find a way to argue that some statement that's at all ambiguous somehow confirms their instinct that you can put your partisan preferences over a basic principle like defending the right to life. So I think there's less and less wiggle room. I did think the Catholic bishops were much stronger this election cycle than they had been in 2004, when folks like Archbishop Raymond Burke were sort of lone voices in the wilderness. I think we saw something different this time, and it did make a difference for Catholics who were showing up at church and hearing the messages. But for those who don't consider their Catholic identity very important to them and don't practice their faith, of course, it didn't make much of a difference.
Some are wondering whether or not the Obama victory was, in fact, not so much a rejection of social conservative, but a rejection of the so-called religious right, and that perhaps the religious left has figured out something. They say, look, the religious right has a few things right, but it's too narrow. We need to give people more issues to choose from, and we need to make those issues that tend to rankle people like abortion and gay marriage and the whole homosexual issue. We need to push those down on the agenda list. What do you make of it?
Well, it's I think it was a successful argument with some Christians. I think there were a great majority. I mean, we did see the evangelical vote once again went pretty strongly for the pro-life candidate. As I said, church-going Catholics did too. Nominal Catholics went the other way. So I think that argument isn't making a lot of inroads with the people who are really in their churches every week hearing a pro-life message and thinking about these issues like defense of marriage as foundational to their faith and to society. But for those for whom religion is maybe not their primary identifier, not even maybe a top two, three in terms of its relation to their personal identity, then I think that kind of argument makes sense. So I think there were some inroads made, certainly. I think the Democratic Party has been working hard on trying not to sound so hostile to religious voters, and I think they did that better. I think Barack Obama is a pretty gifted orator when it comes to sort of squaring some circles in terms of his positions and yet saying that he seeks common ground. So obviously there was some success there, but I think a lot of Christians hear that and still look at the voting records and say, I don't know, you don't look like you're seeking common ground.
Okay, 30 seconds. Finally, do you think the president-elect Barack Obama should assume that the culture war is over?
No, absolutely not. And I think the real danger is not that he'll assume it's over, but that the left fringe in his party will encourage him to be a culture warrior the other way and become a left-wing culture warrior by pushing things like the Freedom of Choice Act, which is very radical, would remove all restrictions on abortion by supporting gay marriage, that sort of thing. So he needs to remember that in places like California, where he was supported by double-digit margins, voters still rejected things like gay marriage. So there's, America is still a center-right country, and the pro-life and pro-family movement has a lot of work to do. But I think Obama's going to regret it if he becomes a raging culture warrior on the left.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. You can read her columns on demand at our website, issuesetc.org. It's under the on-demand section. When we come back, gay marriage in Connecticut, also a pastor who wants his people to have sex for 7 consecutive days and then tell him all about it. We want to hear from you. That'll be Audio Open Lines in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.